Hello and welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we're going to hear a message from Pastor Fred about our vision for 2024. So tune in and get ready for a wild year.
So good to have you with us. Hey, me and Anna have a couple of things we want to talk about, but I really do feel the Spirit of God is in the house. And so we might go a touch quicker. That I don't know how fully, but I just feel like in the worship, I was feeling like God wants to minister to people. And then Dave started ministering to people, and he upstaged me massively, which is annoying. But we just want to let you know a few things. Vision Sunday. Vision's important, helps us see. And as a community, we want to go somewhere. We don't just want to come to church, we want to take the church somewhere. Tonight we're going to say a couple of things surrounding that. A few things you already know about that we've already talked about. The new building happening towards the end of this year, which is going to be great. It's going to be great. That's all right, Brett. I was hoping that you'd be part of the facade, so that's good. We also talked about governance, internal and external. We talked about how do we keep the flock safe? How do we do that well? And sometimes it can be a bit like, oh, dedicating a whole Sunday to that. I think one Sunday dedicating to the longevity of our house is important.
Amen.
And we've also talked about on April 28th, we're going to be taking up an offering to facilitate the vision of the new sanctuary, which is so exciting. And I believe we can do it. I believe the oil pays the bills. I believe $600,000 is a lot for us, but it's not much for Him.
Amen.
So if we can be people trustworthy, the Lord will release it, which is great. A couple of things I want to tell you about, and then I'm going to jump into sermon and ministry time, which would be great. The first thing is our teaching timeline. So some of you guys would have seen this, but we're really excited. Who knows that the Word of God transforms things? Like, man, Bible and Spirit, you can't separate them. The Word of God is incredible. And so we're obviously currently in our Vision Sunday right now. Then we've got Prophetic Presbytery, which people give it. I'll just tell you what it means.
And I'm preaching.
Yeah,
and I don't know what it means still.
Teaching on the prophetic gift and the prophetic office and then activating it within the church service. That's it. It just is old school way of saying it, and it makes it trendier. So that's fun. Then we're coming into our vision series, which is going to be great, talking all about Kingdom Come. We've got a revival service as well with a guest, with Pastor Jason Mendez. Then we go into Take Back the Land, which is a series on pushing demonic strongholds back in our region and in our lives, our personal lives. Then we got Pentecost Sunday. If you are conservative, you go camping if you want. It's going to be wild. Or come. It's up to you, whatever you want to do. Building in Babylon is going to be great. We're going to be going for it in this series. This series is actually going to be rated PG-13. We're going to talk about how to think and how to stand as a believer with conviction in an age that completely disagrees with basically everything the Bible says. And so we're going to delve into how do we do that well. Then we're going into the lie of lust, which will also probably be PG-13. We're going to talk all about the false promise the devil says regarding things to do with sex and sexuality and how we can walk in purity, but also heading towards fulfillment in Christ. Yeah. Which is going to be great. Then Prospering Principles, we're talking about money. Very exciting. I love the treasure chest there. I don't know if we have them anymore, but we should. Then we've got Church in the Wild, a series on evangelism. How do we take the message of Christ out to a broken, dying world? Then we're going to be talking about Go Again. This is a series on pain and suffering. Sometimes in church, we can be pretty like, whoa, faith, amazing, it's good. But what do we do when we lose the battle? What do we do when we don't see the breakthrough? What do we do when on this side of the cross, it feels like Jesus has let us down? We're going to talk about that, delve into that, because that actually happens a lot in the Bible. More revival services. Consecrated Community is going to be our series surrounding prayer, fasting, spiritual discipline. It's going to be amazing. Another Prophetic Presbytery, which no one knows what it is. And then we're going to Face Jerusalem and talk about the importance and the vitality of prayer in the life of the believer. And then we come into Christmas season. And I'm hoping at around Go Again, Revival or Nothing, we're in our new building, which will be amazing. So awesome. We're excited for that.
Woo. On that note, messages coming up, incoming, not tonight, but incoming. You're going to be able to scan a QR code on the screen and see the sermon notes. for that message, which I think is awesome because you can take that home, you can take that into life group, and you can study it further. So be on the lookout for that and scan that QR code.
It's going to be great. We really want to make sure we're equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We're not just having some music and a TED talk. We all want to be equipped in the things of God. Amen. We've got our life group timeline, which is all the questions, discipleship focuses for the year. Pastor Jesse's done a great job. We want our life groups to be fun and a place of connection, but we also want to spiritually grow. It should be normal for believers to talk about the things of God, and it should be normal for the believer to talk about the things of God, maybe tailored a bit. If there's new people or unbelievers, we should be able to still live in that way. So that's going to be amazing going through this year.
Awesome. Me?
It's you again.
It's me again. Prophecy. I love the prophetic, and so I'm actually teaching a course this year. We're going to do it twice. It's 5 weeks on the basics of prophecy. So if you feel like you have a gift in the prophetic, or you just want to grow in it, because we all can prophesy, if you just want to learn to hear from God more clearly, scan that QR code and register. You can go on the website and the Hallow Hub and do that as well. It's completely free. We've got child minding. We really want you to be part of it. I'm really excited to see that the church sort of take this into the next level prophetically as well.
Amen. What could happen if 500 people heard from God and prophesied into their world? Amazing. Also, I heard it was $499 for the course, but that's fine. The nervous love. Very, very cool. Hey, we released a song. KCW released a single on Friday called The Blood, which is amazing. Amazing, amazing. We sung it tonight. These guys are just amazing and world-class. Please share it. Please sow it as seed. The other exciting thing to do with the worship team is that Kingdom Culture Worship just signed with a distribution label, which is so epic. So pumped about that. Pastor Jesse, where are you? Come and tell them why they should care.
Quick, quick, quick. Hello. Yeah, it's very exciting. So we've signed a record deal, a distribution deal with Rethink and Watershed. Just so you understand, Rethink is a division of Capital. With Rethink is like Jesus Image and Upper Room and City Point, like a bunch of our, like, people that we really admire. And they help us get our songs into good playlists and just like get the music out to people that we maybe wouldn't reach. So it just honestly spreads Jesus and what he's doing here further, which is pretty special. And they also help with a lot of the administration, which we need.
Great.
Amazing. Awesome. Exciting times.
That's so good. Also, really exciting news. Today, our new website is live. So make sure you go and check it out. We've got a little preview for you on the screen. This is the main page. There's Levi, there's Nathan. It's so, so good and so clean, guys. And I can't name the person that made it for us, but they're incredible and we thank them and we love them. Please go on there and have a look. You can go to What's On, the sermon series coming up. Look, there's me. It's just so, so good. Go on there, explore it, have a look. I'm so proud of our website. It's incredible. It's good, hey.
It's really good.
It's really
good. Also, from today, every sermon will be available on YouTube. So if you're not a podcaster, I don't really like podcasts. I love seeing Stephen Furtick when I'm watching him. And so you'll be able to do that via our YouTube, which is amazing as well. A couple of new staff we want to pray for quickly. If that's you, run to the stage with so much speed. It's unbelievable. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's almost offensive. Bradley, quickly. We love you, Bradley. So these guys either came on at the start of this year or they did come on last year but never got a chance to be prayed in. And what we're going to do is, Pastor Harry, you're going to pray for these guys, for their year. And no warning. You're just going to, would you stretch your hands out, church? Pastor Harry's going to lead us, but let's pray and cover these guys as they come on staff.
Great.
Yeah, Father, we thank you for this amazing group of people, Lord, that they're willing to lay their life down to build your house. I thank you, Lord, your word says that they who refresh others will, Lord, themselves be refreshed. So right now, Father, we ask right now from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, no matter what their role is, God, that there would be a fresh touch and a new sense of the anointing. God, I thank you for skilled hands. But Lord, your word says in Proverbs that eyes to see and ears to hear are a gift from you. Father, let it not just be perfunctionary. Lord, let it be prophetic in everything that they do. Lord, let them see, let them hear in a new way. Father, we declare right now as a church, God, protection over their minds, over their hearts, and over their lives. God, we declare, bless them, prosper them. Go before them, behind them, and beside them in Jesus' name. Let everything they touch be holy fire. In the name of Jesus, we declare. And the church said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. We love that. On that note, if you're here this morning, you'd know, but we are genuinely, me and Anna are so pumped to let you all know that from September of this year, Pastor Harry and Annalise will be coming on staff here at Kingdom Culture Church. And so we're so excited. So why don't you come up on stage? Amazing. We're so excited. Good on you guys. We're so excited. Pastor Harry's coming on as Generations Executive Pastor. He's going to oversee kids, youth, young adults, working with Catherine, Felicity and Emma, which is going to be amazing, and overseeing the discipleships and life groups within our church. And so these guys are incredible. They're from a big world, but more importantly, they're great people and they're our spirit and our DNA. And I think it's amazing that Annalise agreed to come and move overseas to come here without ever being here. So hopefully you all impressed her today. But would you guys say whatever you want to say? Talk about your life, your world, whatever.
Absolutely. Well, hello everybody. It is good to be here today. Before we say anything, I just want to honour you guys. We want to honour you as the Slades to the Porters on behalf of the Slades. But really want to honour you guys. I'm really excited to get to partner with you. It's not often that you find people like you, and we're so grateful to be able to partner with you and move countries for what God is doing here, and we're really excited to partner with you in that. And church, we're so excited. We're pretty pumped. Like, it's pretty cool. Some of you might have been here when I preached last time, but I preached a message called The Miracles in Your Movement. And God's just been nudging the whole preparation time for this move, that there's miracles that are going to be unlocked in our lives, but also I think in Burpengary and beyond through this move. So we're really, really excited. We're currently in New Zealand. We've got a baby due April 25th. Our first son. How good? So it's going to be awesome. We're going to do that thing, birth the baby, and then Annalise is going to do all of that. Would you like to say any? There you go.
Thanks so much, babe. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, in a group project, one person does all the work and then both of us get the A. Like, I feel like that's the situation we're in right now. But I just want to say I'm really looking forward to getting to know you all. Really looking forward to doing life with this community. Even just today, I've been so overwhelmed with how friendly and welcoming and loving and accepting and embracing you've already been, and how passionate you are for the things of God. So I know that there is so much ahead for this church. I know that this church is only just beginning the impact that it's going to be making in the nation, in the suburb, in the area. And I'm so excited for all the things that are to come. We're just so thrilled to be a part of it. And we will see you in September.
Like, Annalise met Fred for the first time, like, 2 days ago. So we're so excited. It's crazy.
She's horrified.
She's like, what have I done?
No, it's awesome.
Can I say as well, in this, I guess, in-between period where they're going to give birth to their beautiful boy and all that sort of thing, let's keep them in our prayers. Let's not set and forget and go see you in September. We're going to have some Slade vlog videos we're going to have across the time. But I would love if we could adopt them now and just be praying over them and the future. Amen?
Amen.
Really exciting. Come on, let's give them a hand as they go. Praise the Lord. Are you feeling okay this evening? I'm going to tell you the new vision statement of our church. I'm going to preach you for 20 minutes and then we're going to minister. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In August of last year, my dad had lunch with me and he said, hey, you need to start praying into the vision for next year. I said, that makes sense. And he said, you need to hear from God on what the future is and the format it'll take. And so I prayed for a month straight, didn't go anywhere, stayed at home, locked the door, ate locusts and honey and Cinnabons, and the Lord spoke. And so it was good. But the first thing the Lord said, I didn't say this morning, but the Lord said, names are really important.
Yes.
And I was like, is that the vision statement, Lord? He's like, no, you're an idiot. He said, your name, Kingdom Culture Church. And he took me on this genuinely four-week journey. And I'm not going to hype it up or anything. What I believe he's spoken that our vision statement will be, and not annually, just globally forever, is, unless you speak something else, is comes from Matthew 6:9, but just kingdom come, will be done. This is going to be our banner. This is going to be our flag that as a church we gather around, as a church we make decisions around, as a church we go into territory going, this is our banner. In Matthew 6:9, it says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not just a slogan, it really is a decision-making matrix. As we make decisions, myself and Anna and the executives and the board, etc., we want to ask two questions. We want to go, okay, does this bring the kingdom? But it's a two-part question, because you can do things that bring the kingdom that aren't your assignment. So we want to, comma, is it your will for us?
Yes.
Does this bring the kingdom, and is it your will for us? And from now until he says something else, every decision, every event, everything we put our time, energy, treasure, and talent into, we will first go, is it kingdom come and will be done for our church and for us? And I pray that as we talk about this corporately as a church, the Lord would speak to you individually about what does it mean for you to bring kingdom come in your life, in your world, in your sphere. This isn't just for ministers, this is for all of us. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right, I want to read you a testimony and then we'll preach. Last Sunday, Ben felt that there was a healing anointing in the room, and so he came up to me and said, I feel to release that. And he got up and he really felt, I think it was knees and hips and shoulders and stuff. And this week I got this message. I'm not one to cry miracle lightly, and she isn't, but this week our family had two experiences that can only be described as that. On Sunday, I put my hand up to have my hips prayed for. I've had a sprained sacroiliac joint for about 6 months. It made pregnancy very hard and limited my ability to do things around the house and play with Elijah as much as I wanted to. I've spent a lot of time wearing a belt and trying to rest to allow it to stabilize and heal, but it would not. When I was prayed for on Sunday, I felt the Holy Spirit and then a sharp pain and pop, pop, pop in my joint. Instantly, it felt like the joint was stable and the pain was greatly reduced. I'm now almost totally pain-free, and this week I've been up ladders painting, which a week ago would have been impossible. Even more amazing than that, we've had so many people praying for Aaliyah, that's her little baby, and her struggle with feeding. We had a tongue tie surgery release booked for Tuesday, but when we went to have it reviewed on Monday before the release, the tongue tie was completely gone. It had totally disappeared, and under her tongue was soft and loose. After a couple of days of working at strengthening her tongue, she is now feeding perfectly. She no longer sucks the air and loses the latch every time she swallows. Feeding is now easy, and she's gained healthy weight. We are so thankful to God for his goodness and grateful for everyone's prayers. You can clap now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Really quickly, Ben, I just want to lay hands on you quickly. Because me and Ben have been friends a long time, and he already knows that I believe that there's a healing anointing on him. But I really do feel that this is going to be one of his main pillars in kingdom come. One of the main ways he brings the kingdom. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Ben's tool that he's been given is not limited to this, but is supernatural healing. And so why don't you stretch your hands out? Let's believe. Part of the reason you give a corporate word is to bring accountability. So let's believe this year for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 significant, verified, credible healings in people's bodies that leads them either into a deeper relationship with the Lord or into salvation. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you right now for Ben's yes. I thank you for the anointing on his life, and I thank you that many would know the name of Jesus because of what Ben does. Thank you for obedience. Thank you for boldness. Thank you even this week for uncomfortable assignments where he goes and he lays hands and he believes, and immediately, just like Hannah, immediately there is a shift in people's bodies as they experience Christ for the first time. Lord, I thank you for his anointing. I thank you for his yes, and I thank you that this is how he will bring the kingdom in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Kingdom come, will be done. Thank you, team. You can have a rest. Bless you. I'm going to read to you from Mark. It's a good passage, and I don't have much time, but I feel good. I know you didn't ask if I did, but I feel great. Okay, I was feeling a bit poorly this afternoon, but it has left me, and I feel I touched Ben. I feel better. That counts as one. You're on number one. Okay, all right, shut up. Mark 5 and in verse 1, it says this. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gennesaret or the Gadarenes. When Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Oh, if it's your first time tonight, this story's mental and really full on. And yeah, that's it. He lived among the tombs, and there was no one that could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had been bound with shackles and chains, but wrenched the chains apart. And he broke the shackles in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. You know, when I was growing up, in a pretty Pentecostal environment, something my mum would always say to me was, you know, it's not like horror movies, you know, spirits and stuff. Like, he was cutting himself with rocks in a graveyard and breaking metal chains. It's terrifying. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Full on. We'll read the rest of the passage soon. Let's pray quickly so that we don't all fall into a deep depression. Father, we thank you so much for your spirit here tonight. We thank you that, God, this is your house, these are your people. And Father, as you continue to move our church forward, let us be sensitive to your voice and your spirit and able to bring your kingdom well. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Scully, are you good? I can visualize Jonathan just catching a baby in the service, this service. So just be ready, everyone. Prepare yourself. Gadara, where Jesus was going, was a region just before a place called Decapolis. This place was super pagan, okay? What you'll find, a theme you'll find this year in our preaching and teaching series, is Jesus was radical. Jesus broke every rule. Jesus burned so much for freedom's sake that he would do things that would be considered wild. And so he's going to this place that is known for pagan worship. It's known for demoniacs. It's known for spirituality, but not in a good way. It's known for human sacrifice, animal sacrifice under pagan gods. So this place worshiped the god Zeus, which probably most of us know, buff dude, lightning bolt. Thor's dad. He's actually not. Anyway. But this place worshiped the god Zeus, right? And so Jesus and the guys are coming on this boat and they're arriving at the shore and they're stepping into a place that has a stronghold. Just quickly, I feel like probably a lot of us are stepping into places that have strongholds, but we don't really see it as that. We just see it as the office. We just see it as the uni. I'll tell you, man, there's principalities over universities. And so Jesus is so great, not just because he's God, that's the best bit, but because he actually models to us how to deal with things. And I don't want to give any glory to the enemy tonight, but I do want to make sure as a church we're aware of the things of the Spirit, because how can you break something you're not aware of? We have to be able to acknowledge it's there. And so anyway, obviously Zeus is the god of thunder and lightning and all that fun stuff. And I find it interesting that one chapter earlier, they're on a boat and there's a massive thunderstorm trying to stop them getting to Gadara. Yeah. When you take ground, this will be fun, young adults. When you take ground, the enemy is going to try and rock your boat. Yeah. The amount of times I feel like, man, I'm going to do something for God over my life. I get a word. Oh, man. I've had some good words, man. Todd White prayed for me, about Heidi Baker prayed for me after, I know, just name dropping everywhere. You know, it's half the room's like, who are they? but all this stuff, right? And then you're like, yes, I'm going to walk in purity. And then like you have the worst week of your purity journey since you were like conceived. And you're like, what is happening? Or like someone's like, you're going to be a businessman. You're going to make lots of money. And then the next week you're like, well, I can't pay my office bill. So that's fine. Oftentimes, when there's a prophetic offer from God, when there's an assignment from God, the enemy will rock the boat. And he can't put you off course unless you let him, but it's still not comfortable. It's still not comfortable. The week after we announced that we're moving to a new facility and taking ground, almost all of my staff got sick. The spirit of suicide came after people. We had our lowest week of giving in 5 months, but I really felt the Lord say very clearly to me in that week, peace be still. Yeah. We're heading to Decapolis and the enemy's not happy about it. I've got a picture of the temple of Zeus, not just a temple of Zeus, the temple of Zeus from Gadara, from that region. Look at that. See, this is the great thing about being Jesus, is you know the result. You're outside of time. So while the boys were like, oh, there's a storm and we're going to a pagan land, Jesus is like, yeah, but I know the outcome. That's the outcome. Yeah. Their God isn't forever. Their God isn't immortal. Their God is just a spirit. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. The game's rigged. The game's won. So I'm asleep in the boat because I know the end result. Yes. And look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not at sleep in the boat level. I feel like I'm at like speaking tongues loudly with one foot on the prayer level, you know, and not always confidently. Sometimes like, and Jesus is going to come through. I hope maybe Anna, you know. but we don't want to let the rocking of the boat shake our faith when God has us on destination to a region. And so Jesus and the guys, they rock up here, and this man with impure spirits straight away. This whole thing, view this whole next 16 minutes through the lens of kingdom come, will of God be done. This is our assignment. This is what we're doing as a church. As soon as Jesus steps off the boat, it says a man with impure spirits saw him. He lived among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains. He had been bound with shackles. Night and day, he cried out and was cutting himself. This is a demonic counterfeit to Revelation 4. In Revelation 4, they sit around the throne and they worship God day and night, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is the devil's version of that for people. Now, yes, we live in North Brisbane, right? So we don't really have people like screaming and chained in literal tombs. But go on social media for 5 minutes. And you'll see people crying out for validation, crying out, flaunting their bodies, doing anything they can to try. What they're really saying is, I need a purpose. I'm lost. I'm in pain. I did youth ministry for 10 years. I traveled Australia preaching at youth rallies. And you know what I saw? I saw a lot of people crying out in tombs. And so this happens straight away. And I want to say this, as for us as a church, we're coming for the people in the tombs. We're coming for the people that are crying out. We're coming for the people that are unsure. We're coming for the people that don't know who they are. I pray lots of great additions come from other places and mature believers and all that, but really the goal is the tomb. We got to get people out of the tomb. I know I always say this, and maybe this is the evangelistic side of me. I'm 30, so I'm one third done, and I'm young. Like, I'm one third done my life. So I'm not interested, really, in politics. I'm not really interested in all the nice stuff. It's good to have if we can have it. I'm interested in the person crying out in the tomb who doesn't know who they are and who the devil is oppressing. That's the job of the church, is to go, hey, you oppressed? You hurting? Come and join family. Oh, it's going to be a journey. Oh, there's going to be some mess. Oh, there's going to be... But come and join. But what happens sometimes is we as believers and sometimes as young adults, we have all this pontification and commentary about what the church should be doing. Get in the flipping trench. Just help. Just come. And you don't even have to agree with me. Just get in the trench and love someone. Just start discipling someone. You don't have to like me or my leather jacket or my jokes or anything, but just come and help build the kingdom of God. Yeah, we do not like your fashion. The people of Decapolis tied this guy up and left him in a graveyard. When I read that and I was studying through that again, I was like, jacks. And I felt the Lord say the West does the exact same thing in 2024. But today, instead of actually throwing people out, what we do is we affirm the voices in people's heads, we celebrate the mental illness, and we herald demonic possession as people being their authentic self. And what we do is we constrain them to their prison because we don't want to get uncomfortable. I'm not talking about an antagonistic church. I'm not talking about a hateful church. I'm talking about a church that says, I love you enough to have a really awkward combo. I love you enough for you to get mad at me for a season, but I'm just going to be there in the pocket, being faithful, loving you well, because actually we believe that this book is truth. Thanks. Appreciate that. Remember that the wages of sin is death. So the church's job is not to make everyone feel good, but rather to get as many people out of the tomb as we can. That's the main job. I pray that we disciple well. I pray that our songs do well. I pray that you all are blessed. I pray. That's not the goal. The goal is to go out and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. You cannot medicate, legislate, or negotiate a demon away. He's talking about demons too much. Maybe, but because I don't like giving glory to the enemy. But what we do is because of a lack of knowledge and understanding of spiritual warfare, we say spiritual sounding throwaway comments that have no power. Oh, we just got to focus on Jesus. Jesus had a pretty good idea of how his enemy worked. He wasn't focused on it. He wasn't swayed by it, but he knew what was going on at all times. In James, he even said the demons believe, like he knew what was going on. So once again, to pontificate spiritual sounding things because you feel uncomfortable isn't leadership, it's cowardice. And Morrowfield needs us not to be cowardly. Morrowfield needs me not to be cowardly. And so we're not coming in with pickets and signs and yelling at people. We're coming in with reckless love that cares enough to have an awkward two-hour dinner with someone and love them into a place of knowing Christ. It says no one was strong enough to deal with him. He's breaking chains. He's setting up stuff. If Keys could come back, that'd be amazing. No one was strong enough. Okay, so if Ben does a superset on the bench, it just gets absolutely jacked. Hannah's like, go on. And just gets just swole. And he's driving home, right? He's driving home, but he's driving home at 150 kilometers now. Okay, Ben, that's irresponsible to do. He gets pulled over by a police officer, and the police officer is like 4 foot, like tiny, little lady. She goes up to his window, knocks, and Ben puts the window down, and she goes, excuse me, you were speeding. And he goes, have you seen how buff I am? Because this is the thing, right? Ben's definitely stronger than her, but she's got the authority. And so she will reach over and give him a ticket, and she'll say, nice muscles, bro, enjoy your fine. Because Ben is stronger, right? Yeah. I don't want to use Ben as an example of demonic strongholds, but I have. It's not about the strength, the show, or it's about the authority. Jesus had authority. The reason this works is because Jesus had authority. And as we come under the authority of Jesus, we have authority. Yeah. But it can be scary because Jesus isn't standing there. If Jesus was like here in the flesh with me all the time and was like, dude, you should pray for that lady there. You got this. I'd be like, oh, I probably do. The Messiah's there. But he's not there in physical form. Right. He's here. Yeah. And so he speaks and we're like, oh man, yes. I want to stir you to understand the authority that you have. Powerful things happen when the church walks into areas the enemy thought was theirs. Yes. This is what Jesus did. He brought the kingdom wherever he went. He brought the kingdom wherever he went. You see, the demonic strongholds in this region would have gone, we're good. We're a Gentile pagan area. They did not think that a Jewish Messiah would walk into a pagan Gentile area near a graveyard, near a hill called the Hill of the Swine, because that was against everything in the Jewish dogma. It would make him ceremonially unclean. And Jesus was like, let's go mess the enemy up. Because I did not come to bring tradition, I came to bring freedom. That's a great word for the local Western church. He didn't come to bring tradition. He came to bring freedom. So he goes into this place and sets people free. And so we, where we are now and where we move later, our goal is to bring the kingdom. All the things that entails. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're going to do a series on all the things that the kingdom is. And then we're going to do everything we can to bring that to Moreton Bay. Yeah, right. That's like my life's goal. Like, love Jesus well, love my family well, see Moreton Bay change before I die. And if we travel a bit and if we have a nice house with a pool, like, that's just a perk, okay? It's not the goal, it's just the blessings of God. When this guy saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, God, do not torment me. Isn't it crazy that in the Synoptic Gospels, a demoniac reveals and knows who Jesus is before his disciples do? Four chapters later, Peter in Caesarea goes, you are the Christ. Jesus says, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has. Man, what a lame place to be when demons have more faith than us. But it happens all the time. Because they're confident that they can win a generation. Yeah. They're confident that they can take over a uni. Yeah. We're not sure. Well, they'll stick to their demonic assignment with religious fervor. Yeah. We don't. Yeah. we get mad because the church made a tiny decision that we don't like. But really, it's not about that. It's that we just don't want to do the assignment. Because who'd want to go to a graveyard with someone screaming and breaking chains? Oh, that wasn't in my notes anyway. So, all right, we're almost done. If you're new here, come back next week. Anna's awesome. It's about to go down, okay? Okay. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Legion is a military term that means 3,000 to 6,000 people. So this guy had some serious oppression. The demonic in that region was using this guy as a herald of woe to the people. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us into the pigs and let us enter them. If you're new here and you're going, is this a story about demons being cast into pigs? Yes. Yeah. There's no, I can't make it trendy. I'm sorry. I thought about how. I can't. Demonic bacon. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs in the herd, numbering about 2,000. Can you imagine watching this unfold? It's like a storm, and then like these guys get out of a boat, and then this guy's like, and then this guy's like, and then 2,000 pigs like just run down this hill. You'd be like, babe, weirdest day. I was over in the Gadara on the hill of the swine. You won't believe what I saw. I want to grab two things from this part of the story. One is that they said, do not send us out of the country. Do not send us out of the region. This is because of the assignment that spirits have. The area we're moving into and the area we're in right now, per capita, has one of the highest fatherlessness rates in the country. Yeah. There's an assignment over family. Yeah. So once again, we don't give heaps of attention to this. We go in with the Word of God and a focus on Jesus. Yeah. But we do not fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Yeah. Watch this, until you gain air superiority, you will not take the region. We will not see kingdom come until we wage war on the legion in this region. How do we wage war? Well, we pray, we disciple, we start life groups, we believe for healing, we cast out demons, we're loud about testimonies, we love the man and woman in the tomb, we equip our kids and youth in spiritual gifts, we learn our word, there's so many we could put, we open the altar, we listen to podcasts when we're away, we tithe, we do all these things the enemy doesn't want us to do, not for a natural result, but for a result in the spiritual. I firmly believe that this church is primed to make a dent in hell. Oh, have we already? Maybe, probably. But I mean like a dent. I mean like someone's getting fired in the boardroom of hell in like 5 years. Because they're like, oh, we tried. What's going on with that KCC place? I thought you were meant to destroy it. You know, I was about to do a demonic accent. I don't know what that would be exactly. We tried. I don't know. We're having fun tonight, but you understand what I'm saying? Yes. That we want to see a victory. Yes. We want to see kingdom come. Right. And we want to see the men and women and children in tombs set free. Yes. Set free. Yes. Jesus was also showing a prophetic picture of what will happen to every demonic spirit one day, casting them into a lake. Bill Heinrich, a theologian, says something so cool. He says, the pigs on Swine Hill would have also been used as sacrifices to the pagan god Zeus. So as Jesus cast Legion into the pigs, he was not just defeating a principality, he was taking away the ability to worship a false god. Well, we got some false gods, man. The god of self is huge. Your truth. This is who I am. This is how I identify. Jesus doesn't particularly care how you identify. He wants you to identify with him. Jesus is where your identity comes from. You're a son, you're a daughter. You look at him and you behold him, and you can't know who you are until you know whose you are. And as you look at him and as you sit with the Father and as you read about Jesus, you realize, oh, this is who I am. And Jesus can't minister to the fake you. He can't minister to how you identify. He ministers to how he made you. And it rages against the spirit of the age, because what it is he's Lord. He's the boss. He's in charge. I'm triggered. He's in charge of your life. And what hope is there? Stop ranting, friend. What hope is there for a city when the people of God do not let him lead them? How the heck are we going to lead a region? We can't even pray. We can't even tithe. Lord, send revival. Lord's like, absolutely. Can you do these four things? No. What we do is we get comfortable in our mask of appearing to declare that we want God to move. And we live a life that has all the markers of someone who wants revival with none of the submission of someone who actually has it. I promise you being a Christian is the best thing you'll ever do. I promise you God will move in your life. And I promise you it is so hard. You have to crucify yourself daily. Your flesh is like this chihuahua. It's like, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't tithe. Don't go to church. They all hate you. Do this thing. Go on that website. Like, it's incessant. But we take captive every thought, bring it unto him. And this is the starting point of a revival in our region. And the speed of the revival in our region will be based on us. How quick we move. Oh, but God's sovereign. He'll do it whenever he wants to. Read about every revival in Christian orthodoxy. It doesn't end because of him. It's crazy. This guy gets set free. Doesn't have demons anymore. It says that they clothe him. And then all the people in the region say, go away. We don't want this. I'm just going to steal Charles Spurgeon's quote because he said it so well in 1890. The Prince of Preachers was preaching from this passage and he said this. It was a great calamity that happened on that day. The swine had run into the sea. The town wanted no more calamity. Did Jesus possess power? Yes. Had he healed a man? Yes. Yet they did not want him. Watch this. For they were easygoing men who wanted to continue in their ways. So they asked Jesus to go away. I can tell you as someone that, and I say this as someone that without the grace of God is just dust, but as someone that's moved in the things of God for a while in decent sized spaces, some people love it and get pumped. Some people move to cynicism at a speed in which you would not believe. But it's actually, I've realized, not about me or the church or the room or the conference. It's that it pokes something in them of all great calamity is ahead. Not actual calamity, but you're going to have to change. You're going to have to shift. Now you've seen it. You're going to have to activate. And I believe we're a church that we want that sort of calamity. Not worldly calamity, but we want to see things move. Like, can we just agree that this story is super weird? I love it when things aren't weird. There's times when it's not, it just feels good. When you just pray for someone and they just start crying, they're like, that's exactly what I'm going through. Thank you, Lord. They're my favorites. Then you pray for someone and they fall over or they scream or God falls in a room and stuff happens and things move and the ox mess up the barn. It gets a bit odd. We're trying to like sanitize this gospel to be palatable in 30 minutes. It's not a palatable gospel. Like we believe, like speaking in tongues, it's odd. It's powerful. It's amazing. It'll change your life. But I'm not going to sit with a new Christian and go, dude, shut up. It's super normal. It's normal. Shut up. It's odd. We're trying to like Taylor Swift concert the church. Like, let's go. Good lights. We'll lift our hands. We'll have an endorphin release. We'll go home. No, no. We don't believe, like Taylor Swift didn't die and come back. I don't think. Jury's still out. But like the church, like we're not of this world. Yes. Be okay. What am I saying? Be okay with God making you uncomfortable this year. Be okay with him making us uncomfortable in our faith, our finance, our marriage, our life, and our families. Be okay with it. All right, I'm done with this. Jesus says to him, go and tell people of the great compassion God has had for you. This guy is like, let's hang out. Like, let's, Jesus, can we just hang out forever? This is awesome. Which is so, I so get it. Do you remember when you first got saved in the church? It was like radical. And you were just like, man, I'm going to the prayer meeting. I'm going to youth on Friday, even though I'm 40. I'm going to every service they have. I'm going to the women's luncheon. Like you were just like, my life is so changed. I'm a B at everything. But who knows that God didn't save you just to save you. He saves you, then he sends you. Yeah. And so he says to this guy, he says, go and tell of the compassion God has for you. And this man went and began to proclaim in Decapolis, which is just beyond Gadara, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Check this out. This is wild. Scholars believe that as this man went and preached in the 10 or so towns in Decapolis, that in the next 12 months, each town was about 2,000 to 3,000 people. In that time, between 5,000 and 6,000 people responded to the message of Jesus before he was even crucified. You see, the boys thought they were just going on a fun trip to Decapolis. Jesus was like, I'm going to change a region. I'm going to bring kingdom come before my time in a region by just healing one guy. May that be our story. But all of our stories. So as you go to your uni, and as we go to our workplaces, and as we hang with family, and as we do our exams, and as we flip our burgers, and as we make our dresses, and as we study medicine, and as we study law, and as we love each other well, that every day we'd wake up and go, hey God, how can I bring the kingdom today? And I hope he doesn't send you to a graveyard with a dude that breaks chains, but I hope he sends you to your sphere, to your office, to your family, to your friends. You okay? Yeah. All right, why don't we stand? When you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What I like about this vision statement is, firstly, it comes from God, not me. But more importantly than that, it's very inclusive. Because sometimes I'm not having a go at any other vision statement, but maybe if it preach the gospel wherever we go, people are like, cool, pastoral staff will handle that. But this one, it's like, it literally doesn't matter what you do. You might not do anything. You're included. No matter what you do, no matter your background, no matter what you're doing now, no matter what your future is, kingdom come, will be done should be our personal prayer. It happens to be what our church is going to be gathering around and pursuing for the next forever. But I pray that it's what you gather around. I pray that it's what stirs you. And so this is what I'm going to do. I received a prayer request when I came in tonight. So we're just going to pray. A young lady, doesn't attend our church, but a young mother's daughter was jumping in a water hole today and broke her back. And so we're going to pray that kingdom would come and God's will would be done in her body, like it was in Hannah's, like it was in John and Liz's. We're going to believe for that. So Ben, why don't you come up here? Good leaders know how to outsource the correct anointing. And Ben, would you pray that in her body, she's in a back brace right now, would you pray that healing would come?
Come on, church, pray with me. Pray with me. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Right now in that hospital bed, that back would realign in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are dwelling right there, right now, right here, that you are there in that room. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are bringing love to that body, that light is coming to that body, that is coming aligned to who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for complete healing. We thank you for the miraculous, and we command it right now to be released in that hospital bedroom. Amen.
We're going to minister, but just quickly, I know we've gone over time, but it's Vision Sunday. You will be fine. In this place, maybe you're a visitor, maybe it's your first time. Hectic sermon. We love you. But maybe you feel like a long way from Jesus. It might not even be as bad as you're in the graveyard and you hate yourself and you're crying out, but maybe the person of Jesus feels a long way away on the boat. He doesn't feel close. Maybe you walked with him years ago or months ago, but you've walked away. Or maybe you've never said that, Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? I just want to really quickly, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just check that everyone here is in an active living relationship with Jesus. And if you're not, I just want to give you a moment to respond and say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. So if that's you, just really quickly, I'm not going to call you out of your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you, but would you just give me a quick wave if that's you? You'd say, yep, that's me, bro. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want him to be Lord of my life. I don't just want to attend. Thank you. I see that hand. I want God to be Lord. Is there anyone else? Just quickly. Is there anyone else? Just give you a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, it says all of heaven celebrates when one says yes to God. And so let's celebrate that. Praise God. One of the team will come chat to you. We won't get you out, but thank you for that decision. Very brave. Amazing. All right. We're going to sing something, whatever you want to sing. But I'm going to ask us to focus on Jesus just for a moment. Just lift your hands to heaven. We'll be done in like 10 minutes. Just lift your hands to heaven.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you are faith-filled and ready for a year of Kingdom Come and We'll Be Done.